Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 everybody. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I go by the moniker of No BS Bishop with the tagline, I'm alive to love. I am alive to love because I believe all lesser values than love are potentially BS. And for the purposes of my thesis here, BS is bait and switch. Or you could take it any other iterations of BS that may come to your mind. I'm comfortable with that. But what I want to help you understand is that love is the sustaining principle of life. And that's my theme for today. Love is the sustaining principle of life. So we'll get to that in just a few moments. But with every radio broadcast, and now this is in a podcast format as well, I invite you to join me in Love's Creed, a creed that I wrote some years ago, edited over the years to this final product. This creed, I believe, is a good holding place. It's a good airfield to land your plane in and refuel for life. Creeds offer us, again, the principles of life. And when, since today is going to be about love as the sustaining principle of life, well, I think the Love's Creed should get you some tools for that toolbox. Also, I'll lead you in the Lord's Prayer after that, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. So, here's Love's Creed. I'll give it to you in total, and then I'll go back and offer it to you in short bursts so that you can repeat after me, because I believe it's important to hear your own voice say the things you believe and treasure. All right, here's Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now let me go back through it and give it to you in short bursts, and you repeat after me like a bride and groom at a wedding altar. It's important to hear your voice say something that is a sustaining principle, creates a foundation for your living. So here we go. I'll give it to you in a short burst, and you repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I am alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right. Now, if you'd like a copy of that, shoot me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries is all one word, all lowercase letters at gmail. Be my pleasure and delight to send you a copy. And that with no BS, no bait and switch, so I get you on my mailing list and pound away at your poor little head and heart for fundraising. That's not my point. My point is to help you. My point is to get some equipment and some tools in your hands for living a life that is abundant and free and full of love, right? Isn't that really what we all want, a life full of love? All right, and before I get too far into the rest of the broadcast, here we go with the Lord's Prayer. I am fully aware that many people listening to me and people that I know don't have the Lord's Prayer memorized, and I bear no judgment or shame on you for that at all. In fact, I look back at the church's stumbling and bumbling and fumbling over the past century, and I realize the church has done a very poor job in so many areas, and not the least of which is in some of these most important basic principles that can be given as genuine life skills. The Lord's Prayer is a life skill. If you don't know it, listen to me and just find your way to embrace that. But if you do know it, and you're very welcome to say it along with me and engage in the most prayed prayer in human history. Think about that. No other prayer has been prayed as many times by as many people in thousands of venues and places, not just church services. I say the Lord's Prayer daily for my own sanity and strength. So I invite you to listen in or join in those magnificent words that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Oof. I love joining in the spirit of those words, and I trust that you do too, and invite you to join me in that kind of pleasure in the most prayed prayer in human history. Now, for the subject du jour for today, I know I pound away, obviously, on this broadcast, a podcast, on the subject of love. Why? Well, because that's what it's here for, and that's what my purpose in life is going forward through this last season of my journey on earth. I'm 72, and I'm not about to die, but I like to tell people, I can see it from here. It's just around the corner. And so to that end, I want to make sure I leave a lasting and significant legacy. I've spent 50 years of my life in pastoral ministry and other nonprofit and charitable organizations, and it just seems to me that out of all the amalgamation of those efforts, that there's something built into my life that I want to make sure I put in the hands of others, that they too can carry and make their own way with the principles of life that I've learned. And love is the sustaining principle of life. The sustaining work of life is love. Not love as is cheaply advertised in some kind of commercial enterprise. Not love as is offered by people who think that, just that love is a easy, cheesy, cotton candy, rainbows and unicorn way of living. I don't propose love in those ways. I propose it as heavy lifting. I propose it as hard labor. Now, I don't want to steal any joy from love out of that. And really, I want to invite you to the honest joys of love, the real principle of life in love, that you would understand that love creates the strength for facing day by day, sometimes by miserable, boring day, and sometimes by tragic, heartbreaking days, or by the monotony of get up, get a cup of coffee, go to work, work 8 hours, 10 hours, however long you work, come home, and then finish the day however you do. I'm proposing and have been saying here for many years now that love is the sustaining principle of life. And finding out that love has that sustaining work within us is finding out who you are. People have asked me hundreds of times, maybe thousands, what's my purpose in life? And I've struggled to answer that question many times as a pastor, a counselor, as a spiritual care director for spiritual program retreat, a recovery retreat for people in lives of addiction through alcohol or drugs or other things that have just crashed in on their living. The disease of addiction steals quality of life. And when I give people the quality of life that I want them to join me in and I want them to discover, I I talk about love. I talk about love in all of its shapes and forms and matters. I try to bring love into as much of a consideration for mental, spiritual health, and even physical health. I think the human condition is hardwired not only for receiving love, but for giving love. And when we are giving it, it's creating space for our quality of life. And when we're receiving it, obviously, it's creating space for living a good life. So the sustaining principle of life is love. To sustain a daily regimen of difficulty when it comes to whether it be physical illness or financial duress, or if you find yourself in deep relationship challenges. I read something this week that so resonates with what I'm saying here, and that is that in the 21st century here in the United States, we're discovering that loneliness is killing us, that the weird notion that we are more connected by social media and by the internet and other means in this information age, we're not so much connected to people, we're connected to information. We're lacking in genuine connectedness that I'm proposing is really only possible through love. Love creates whatever connectedness you may have by the internet or by social media. Love creates a connection there. I'm not denying it. I'm a content creator when it comes to social media. I'm proposing something every day on Facebook and on what used to be Twitter is now X. I put something up there every day. And to that end, my North Star, my guiding light, is love. If I can't say it with love, if I can't say it in a context that makes love make sense in practical means or other counseling sort of psychological means, I guess is the word I'm looking for. If I can't connect it to love, well, I don't post it. I don't offer it. This is part of a podcast, this radio broadcast now. And now in the podcast, I'm interviewing people as well. So the content here goes to the podcast, but there's other content that where I'm interviewing people, I'm asking questions about how does love work when it comes to your spirituality? How does love work as you regard your relationship to this universe and the concept that is wildly larger than us, and that is the great divine God? Love is that energy. It is the one significant powering principle of life. I'll give you an illustration of that. Warships these days, submarines and aircraft carriers are often powered by nuclear power. It's come to my attention, and trust me, I am no nuclear physicist. I do not understand the mechanisms required of this. But in a big general sense, I've learned that a nuclear submarine in the United States Navy can sail for 30 years on one fuel rod, whatever that is in terms of how they fuel the nuclear engines of a submarine. That one fuel rod can power a submarine with several hundred sailors, a multiple array of computers and electronics. That submarine exists out at sea for 30 years. Now, my mind does not compute how that can possibly be. But it illustrates what I'm saying to you about love. I believe that love is the nuclear fuel cell of the human condition. And that without it, well, I'm sure we can power ourselves. I'm sure submarines have been powered with diesel power. They've been powered with other means. When I read the history of submarines going back to the Civil War, for crying out loud, I wonder what in the world were they doing trying to sail underwater when most of their engines were run by coal and wood. I don't even want to start down that path. The point is They couldn't, back in that day, they couldn't run a submarine underwater for more than maybe a half a day at a time. But when we come to the subject of love and the nuclear power that love can become, the one true principle of sustaining life, I believe this is the pursuit that I'm encouraging you. Join me here. Join me in this exploration of love. Join me in discovering creating a loving and accountable life and community around you that has as its nuclear power love. When the questions get so deep and wide and significant about relationships or jobs or careers, I want to urge you to come back to love. Come back to how you are loved, how you do love, how you love life and how life loves you back, how you're defining your relationships in the context of love, how you're defining your own existence in the context of love. Making notes to self about how love is your guiding light. It's your North Star. If I've said it once here, I've said it 1,000 times. Love is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a mountain climb. It's not a stroll through the park. It demands of us some context of planning, research, thought. I just attended, as I said earlier, this institute on drugs and alcohol, and when you listen to the professors and the researchers and the social workers, the folks like myself who work with retreat programs and Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and there are other means of searching out recovery. When you listen to what is proposed in a setting like that, everyone at some level, great or small, comes back to the need for connection through love to the wide world around us. Someone in these last few days even proposed that the opposite of addiction isn't being addicted isn't recovery. The opposite of addiction is connection. And while that requires a little bit more unpacking, I agree with that in basic, that if I'm living a life where the disease of addiction is eating up the quality of me, well, my connections are obviously wrapped up in addiction cycles. And if I'm addicted to drugs, well, I've got to be connected to. Excuse me, I sneezed. if I'm drawn into the dark world of drug addiction, well, I've got to be connected to my drug dealer. I've got to be connected to somebody that's providing the illicit poisons that are keeping me high, keeping me in my addiction. Now, the opposite of that is still connection, but it's connection now to people of health and life and people of inspiration and information, people of love, people who love life enough that they've discovered the principles of being a solid human being with recovery cooking in your mind and your veins. And I'm serious when I tell you, as the bishop of love, as the professor of love, as the instigator of love, as the inspirational speaker of love, I'm telling you what I find in all of those discussions is how the principle of love is the true guiding power of life. How to love yourself, for instance. I think a lot of us have done some pretty raw and ragged things in our life. When it refers to our self-love, we've had long-term, sustained conversations with ourselves where we are saying things to ourselves that we wouldn't say to another human being about them. We talk to ourselves about ourselves in ways that are raw, ragged, and unloving, and then the result of that becomes a life that's been drawn into a cancer, emotional cancer. Because we've poisoned our intake, we've poisoned our nutrition, our emotional, psychological nutrition with criticism and shame. So self-love is something I've talked here on some levels, where we learn that self-love isn't selfish. Self-love is constructive. Self-love is instructive. Self-love is learning that my self-talk, that my inner world, will ultimately become my outer world, that my inner conversation will ultimately become known to the world around me by my outer living and life. So that's why I believe the principle, the truest principle of life, is love, and that sustaining that, beginning with ourself, is no small task. It genuinely is. It genuinely is the heavy lifting of life, and learning that we create a practice of self-love. Once that practice of self-love is learned on any practical basis, well, now the practice of self-love can become the practice of love for others. Because as you speak with yourself, you're most likely to speak with others. So speaking with yourself in the greatest of beauty and grace through love is then the platform for which you speak to others, to live with others, to view others. Now, I know there are many people, and I've encountered in my own life, for whom love is a very tall order. They are in their own world of self-hatred, self-loathing, self-destruction. They don't practice a healthy self-love. So to that end, they are rather challenging to love, because they have so developed an inner world of emotional and psychological cancer. It's very difficult to connect with them. So I may have to build boundaries that create some safety for me from that kind of person. I may have to create an awareness that my conversations with that individual or groups of individuals can only go so far. But I am purposed to live for love alone. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain or allowing the pain of others to become my world. Because I have the awareness of self-love, and I can see in others that they do not practice an awareness of self-love. When I'm on this earth to see to it that their pain does not become my pain, and I will create a boundary of safety, but I will not enter into some pitched battle, some world war, emotional lobbing of grenades and bullets and words that create so much more hatred and pain in this world, for which this world has no more room. We're out of room to pollute the planet with our hatred and self-destructive ways. Suspending judgment for people. That's a practice of love. To suspend judgment means that I'm going to hold space and time for whatever a person's negativity may be when they enter my space. I'm going to suspend judgment and try to surmise how this person is having a bad day on a very simple basis, or how this person has had a very, very bad life. And I'm going to suspend judgment long enough to simply walk in the principle of love, so that I will discover the good or the reality of this person's pain. I may discover that there's so much damaged goods in them that my boundary is going to have to be there to love them from a distance. I love everybody. I love some people from a distance for their sake and mine. Why? Because I want to sustain the guiding principle of love in my life. And when others don't have that value, I'm going to love them at long distance to save them and to save me. I call that suspending judgment. All right. Well, I've got to bring this to a close. My time is running down. And to give you tools for your love toolbox, I've created some other practices. And one is, if you're going to suspend judgment on people who are negative and unloving, one is learning how to have a good, healthy breathing life. Yeah, you heard me. A good, healthy breathing life. We all think that, well, we just all breathe. Well, sure we do, but not all of our breathing is done in a healthy, powerful way. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to breathe by using not your shoulders or your upper body, but breathe down into your belly, down to your diaphragm. If something extends, let it be your belly, because your belly and diaphragm is making room down low in the middle part of your body for more air, okay? On the count of three, take a breath down there. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it there. And exhale. That's a sample. That's like walking in the grocery store and they say, would you like a sample of our cupcakes? Well, that's a sample of my cupcake of breathing. Practice this. Get in the practice in your daily living of loving yourself enough to breathe rhythmically, deeply, and in such a healthy way that cleanses your mind, cleanses your body, and it gives your body a little sabbatical, just a tiny physical sabbatical, 5 minutes every day, maybe longer, but you can determine it. And especially if you feel stress and strain from people who are, they're living in the poisons of self-hatred, maybe breathing is what you need to do just to make some space for your mind and your body. Another thing I do here is to challenge you to the weirdness, the awkwardness, the sustaining practice of looking people in the eye and saying, I love you. Make it something that you have prioritized day to day. Say, I love you. Maybe you want to look in the mirror and practice. Help yourself. Have some practice of self-love that when you can look in your eyes and see if your eyes are really locked in or if your eyes are dodging around, looking up and down and side to side. Hold those eyes still. Look in the mirror and practice saying the three most magical, charmed, and holy words in the human language. I love you. I say it to my wife every day. I say it to strangers now and then. And I have people who have heard me speak about this, and they come up to me and I can tell what's going on in their head because they're smiling and they're looking me right in the eye when they walk up to me. And they'll say, Randy, I love you. Ooh, it makes me smile all over because I realize I'm having some small positive effect in this challenging, hateful world where hate is being sold like it's a nutritious meal. Love is the only nutrition that'll sustain our living going forward. All right, practice that. I love you. And now remember, Mother Teresa said once, we should go into the world today and love the people you meet, randomly or otherwise. Love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Another author, I don't know who wrote these words, but it's powerful, says it this way. The biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. And what Randy Dean tells you is this. It's time to rise and shine. It's time to do something beautiful. The news cycle today, the news cycle in our season is insane. The raging, the difficulties, the snags that we're all walking into are rampant. It's important to be one person in the middle of that, determined to do something beautiful. Why? Because, oh baby, ugly is getting done to death. Time for the people of beauty, and that beauty is specifically love alone is credible. Rise and shine. Love the people you meet this day, and let your beauty be the simple description of your life. I love you all. Happy trails and God bless.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.